There is a central theme in Scripture. There is a message. The Old Testament prophesied of it. It revealed it both in example and type, and this message is that God Almighty has a people.
Yes, sir.
And everything that God is doing in creation is toward the salvation of that people and the glory of Himself. Now, let us never forget that everything God does to get to Himself glory. Whether He saves a soul or whether He damns that soul.
Yes, sir.
If He saves that soul, it will be to the glory and the honor of His grace. If He damns that soul, it will be to the glory and the honor of His judgment and His wrath.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
God will be praised.
Yes, sir.
Both ways. Sadly, nowadays, most people think God only gets praised when somebody gets saved. But I read in an Old Testament passage, it says this, that God shall cause even the wrath of man,
yes, sir,
to praise Him.
Amen.
Think about that. I know, as I've already mentioned before, there are things we see, things that happen, we get upset. And some of us more than others, but we are creatures of great emotion, and I don't necessarily mean that good. I said great.
Yeah.
Large emotion, you know. A lot of times we act and we think on nothing but emotion.
Yeah.
Hmm?
Right.
The way we approach many things is based upon emotion. And I talked to Mason there the other night, and it wasn't exactly along this line, but I can relate. Or I don't know exactly the emotion that Abraham had, but I have children. I have family members that I care about. But I can relate to this emotion. And let me just give you that phrase. Here's what Abraham cried out. Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee.
Sir.
And years ago, I used to read that, and I never really paid much attention to it. I thought, well, but Isaac was Abraham's son. And yes. But at that time, Isaac didn't even exist. And Ishmael was none less the son of Abraham than Isaac was.
That's right.
Ishmael was his flesh and blood.
Yes, sir.
And he cried out that God might, and in effect, it's this, God show him mercy, God show him grace. And God says, no. No. Isaac will be the one. Isaac will be the one. Now you think about that. I thought about that. Well, but it all boils down to this. Remember, now this is important. God chose a people.
Yes, sir.
He chose a people. And I thought about this. Well, at least Abraham knew. Does that really make it any easier? Would that make it? Remember what me and you talked about, may hope? But when God flat out tells you,
mm-hmm,
hope's gone. For one, anyway, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Joe, if God flat out told you, no, that one ain't going to get it.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. That'd be tough, wouldn't it?
Yes, sir.
If I only knew. No, not knowing sometimes probably keeps us halfway sane.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. We're left simply to trust God. No, God chose the people. As a matter of fact, God didn't, and some people, I know, and see, we say it this way, preachers say it this way, we're trained to say it this way because, you know, and especially nowadays, we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings.
Yeah.
You know? We say, yes, God chose some people, and He passed by others.
Mm-hmm.
I used to say that all the time. I read this in commentaries. Or another way we put it, I try not to put it that way anymore, there is the elect and the non-elect. You know, that's like people say, well, that's the truth and that's an untruth. An untruth. You know what the facts are, don't you? There is truth and there is lie. It's not an untruth. There is no non-elect. Scripture calls them what? Reprobate.
Amen.
They weren't passed by. They were rejected. You see, God's, what people call non-election, what people call passing by, they look at it as if, you know, God picked out a few and the others, he just really didn't pay that much attention to. No, he paid attention to them. He rejected them. So much so that it says that in life, God can harden them.
Yes, sir.
And I think the prime way in which God hardens the reprobate is to continually set the truth before them. That's how he does it. Because the truth to a reprobate person is nothing more than judgment upon judgment. Because the more they hear it, the harder they get against it. The more they hear it, the more they hate it. Till eventually, no matter what profession they may or may not have made, eventually say, enough of this. I'm done with it. You know? The fact is, God chose a people. There are some people that are, you see, it's what a lot of the people, well, in other words, you're saying some people's going to heaven, some people's going to hell. Well, that's kind of true under any scheme. You know what I'm saying? Even the Arminians believe that, right? No, what I'm saying is what the, and more importantly, not what I'm saying, that really doesn't matter. What God's book teaches is this: God chose to be merciful and gracious to a people.
Amen.
Whether they went to heaven or not really doesn't matter. That's just icing on top of the cake, if you will. God chose to be merciful and gracious to a people.
Yes, sir.
And says these five things, and almost all of them I've already mentioned in the last few messages. He chose us in Christ.
Amen.
Of course, we know this was before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
Scripture also says he chose us out from among the world. And that's probably where we'll start here in a moment, if you want to be turning there, John chapter 15. Thirdly, he chose us in love. Scripture also in Ephesians 1 connects that with God's wisdom. The wisdom of God. This wasn't just some lottery. You see? God has a wise purpose that he's carrying out. And why does God save sinners? Never says he saves us because he felt sorry for us.
That's right.
He saved us to get himself glory. That's what did it. If God would have got no glory out of it, what's the need in saving us? He could have glorified us in damning us.
Yeah.
Right? But he chose to save some. He chose us in love. He chose us, according to Romans 9, verse 11, that we've looked at. He chose us without consideration to any good or evil being done or to be done. We can put it either way. To be done or being done by us. You see, it's not that, well, God chose all the worst. There's some of the worst he did not choose.
That's right.
Some, right? There's some of the worst he didn't choose. And there's some of the worst he did choose. And there's some things that are honored among men, but some, it says, not many mighty, not many noble, right, or called, but it says not many. It doesn't say not any. Some are. You see, so there is no way of figuring out, well, why did God choose whom he chose? He just did.
Yes, sir.
The answer is found only in God himself. So again, I say he chose us without consideration to good or evil being done by us. Now, I know there's other theological arguments that men have proposed because of that, but that really doesn't matter. And it basically boils down to this. Let me say, when God has this purpose, and God has only one purpose, one will, but there may be many different parts to that one purpose and that one will. And we as finite creatures, we can only think of things in succession. That you must first establish this, and only after you've established this, or think of this, or propose this, only then could you propose the next step. And God purposed everything And I can't even say it once. I mean, he always eternally purposed what he purposed. There was never a time when God hadn't purposed this, and so I'm going to start purposing now.
Exactly.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
God's choice of us is eternal.
Yeah.
It wasn't like there was a time when nobody was chosen, and God said, all right, now I'm going to pick. He's always picked.
Yeah.
It has always been that. Somebody says, explain that. Can't, because I can't explain God.
Exactly.
He's eternal. You see, God, somebody said, well, God chose us, then he predestinated us. Now, see, that's God learning. You see what I'm saying? That's God growing. God doesn't grow. God doesn't learn. Strictly considered, he does not. And being chosen, we were predestinated.
Sir.
Being chosen, predestinated, we were already called. Right? Being called, we're already justified, and being justified, we're already glorified, and that's the way the book puts it, Romans chapter 8.
Yes, sir.
As far as God's concerned, it is a done deal, because nothing can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou?
Exactly.
Fifthly, and that's the one I'll go to next, God chose us unto salvation. And I love these. You don't always think of these things when somebody's talking to you or you're out there doing your job or whatever it is and things happen. You don't always think of this. And somebody says, you're one of them kind of people that believe it, that some people who want to go to heaven, God won't let them. And now you say, no, I'm not one of them. That's not what we mean. And I thought, after a while, after God began to teach me, I thought, Walter, quit playing games. And quit trying to justify God. And quit trying to give God some kind of slip or some kind of out. There are going to be, no doubt, thousands who want to go to heaven that God will not let in.
That's right.
Right? Does not the book say, our Lord said, many shall come unto me in that day. And they'll come expecting to enter in. Yes, God will keep some people out of heaven who want to go to heaven.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And he says, they'll say, Lord, Lord, have we not? And he'll say, what? Well, I'm sorry, you just didn't make the right decision. No. What did he say? Depart from me.
Amen.
He's the one that they're trying to get in. He's going to cast them out. Somebody says, that ain't Jesus. No, that ain't the Jesus you hold to. That's the Christ of God, though. That's the Christ of God. He says, I'm going to do this. This is who he is. As I said, I think it was two Sundays ago, and I'm not saying this is a 100% absolute rule, but generally when you see God saving someone in the Scripture, as we think, being converted, being turned and repenting and believing, you generally find that they are beginning to discover not just what God does, but they're beginning to discover who God is. You know, well, I think it was Philip, wasn't it, that met that Ethiopian eunuch coming back from Jerusalem. And in that final confession, what did that eunuch say? He said, here's water, what hinders me to be baptized? And he was told, if you believe with all your heart. And what did he say he believed? I believe Jesus Christ died for my sins.
No.
Ain't what he said, did he? He confessed who Christ was.
Yes, sir.
His person. He's the Son of God. Mm-hmm. Isn't that what Peter confessed? That's what God revealed. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God.
Amen.
And if you get that one right, if that's come from God, the rest of it will, in time, eventually fall into place. Because you'll begin to see, if he's the Son of God, and this doctrine over here, that don't fit being the Son of God. So I better research this a little further. You begin to find out that a lot of what you've been told is a lie.
Exactly.
Well, Jesus done this, Jesus done that. Jesus would never do this, Jesus would never do that. You got these people running around, especially now, I mean, we're in the season of love.
Oh, yeah.
And that's L-U-V. You know, like a warm bowl of ice cream. That's about what it is. And you know, Jesus healed everyone. That ain't so. That ain't so. There are occasions given in Scripture, some of them are made by Matthew, where Jesus came into a certain area and he said he healed all that were diseased and sick. Sometimes he did heal all, or respective to the area he was in. But there were other times, that one, especially there are many, but here was one where he went to this pool and many people were there around that pool seeking for healing. Right?
Oh, yeah.
And what did he do? He picked one man out and healed him, and that was it. Why? When over here in this other place, he healed all of them. Why? See, that's who he is. He's sovereign. He does what he wants, when he wants, as he wants.
Amen.
We cannot pigeonhole him and say, well, you did it for all there. It's not fair if you don't do it for all here. That's the whole point. We're not saved by the fairness of God. We're saved by the grace of God. If fairness were what it was, we'd be goners.
Yeah.
We'd be goners. See, we think of fairness, well, but, and we, see, what we do, we think here's fairness, all right? You take two people and you treat them equally.
Yeah.
Until.
Uh-huh. Exactly.
Huh? Until one of them does something really bad to me or one of my family. Then the scales start to tip the opposite way, right? Now, come on. Everybody, I've seen this. Well, you got to treat all your kid equally. Or you're going to beat yourself half to death trying to do that. Huh? That's right. And I know people get it. Oh, I can do it. No, you can't. You're a fallen creature. The only being that can love perfectly is God Almighty. You can't do it. God loves all of his people equally in Christ. So much so that it's said that being in Christ, there's neither Jew nor Gentile, bond or free, rich or poor, male or female, but we have to make those distinctions in everyday life all the time. Don't we? And we're bound to. Why? Because we live as fallen creatures in a fallen society. And if you try to live in la-la land, you're going to end up running yourself mad and crazy. They'll have you on drugs, trying to calm you down, because it don't work that way. We live in real life. Real life for us is a fallen creation. David, there is no utopia on this earth. Not going to happen. Now think about it. Here it is, and this will show us. John 15. Now think about these verses, and for the sake of time, let me look what I've got here. Look. All right, now think about this. Just two verses to start with here. Verse 18. If the world hates you. Okay? If the world hates you. Now, sometimes this word if is used as here's something that's possible, but it may not take place. That is used sometimes in Scripture. There are things that could take place. As far as we're concerned, if certain things are met or done, this may take place, but then again, it may not. So much so that even the Apostle Paul, who was told when he took that ship and they were sailing, and God told him, ain't a person on this boat going to die. Right? Remember when they had that big storm, cracked that boat all to pieces? Now, Paul believed God, but you know what he still told them people? You should have listened to me and not loose from Crete. That's what you should have done. We should have stayed where we was. Isn't that what he said?
Yeah.
That's what we should have done. Now we did. And God spared us, right? You know, it's all right to tell men what they should have done and what they shouldn't have done. Just let us never try to tell God
exactly
what he should do or should not do.
That's it.
Now, look. He says, if the world hates you, and here we know this is not just something that may happen. Look, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you.
Amen.
And then he goes on down and says, verse 20, he confirms it. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, did they? Yes, they did. To death.
Yeah.
You know, they crucified him. If they've persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my sayings, they will keep yours also. But this is the point. If the world hates you, you know what? It will.
Yeah.
Now, why will it hate you? And I'm going to tell you, you start mentioning this, and you'll find this out to be true. Now, look, there are a lot of reasons why people don't like other people, right? All kinds of reasons. Different attitudes, different outlooks on life, just different kinds of persons. Just, you know, totally different backgrounds, totally different cultures. All kinds of reasons why people hate one another, can't get along, okay? But look at what this, what our Lord himself says. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world.
Amen.
Therefore, the world hateth you. And you go out here in the world and tell the world God chose his people out from among you.
Yeah.
But he didn't choose all you.
That's right.
You'll find out how much they hate you.
Exactly.
They'll start telling you. Many of them will.
Oh, yeah.
And some you would have never expected it from. Huh? Will begin to hate you. Why? Because we're chosen of God.
Yes, sir.
That's what it says, right? You see, election is the... Election is one of the... It is the starting point. That's where it, for us, the only thing, it says, for God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. So that lets me know, Joe, that nothing preexisted his choosing me, right? Nothing. Well, I tell you what, when you talk to men and women, you might as well just go to the beginning.
Yeah.
Right? Don't go to the end and try to work your way back. Don't try to, in other words, don't try to sneak the truth in the back door. Just bring it in through the front door.
Yes, sir.
Might as well say it. Well, you must think you're special. Let's go ahead and say, yeah. Because it don't matter what you say, they ain't gonna care. Huh? Might as well. You think you're better than me, go ahead and tell them, yeah, I'm better than you. Why, you think about, well, no, I'm not better than you. Oh, well, I believe election then. You see what I'm saying? They don't care. If they don't love the truth, it don't matter what you say, you can't get them to receive the truth. And eventually what happens is you dumb down the truth of God trying to get to them. That's what you do. You lower the glorious truth of who God is, you try to lower that down to their level so they'll accept it. That can happen. Believe you me, I've been there. Just like I say, you used to use the phrase, well, there's the non-elect.
Mm-hmm.
No, go ahead and say it. There's the reprobate. You might be one.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And there's the elect. You might be one.
Yep.
Right?
That's it.
Well, I think it was Henry Mahan said one time, said that one guy said, yeah, I wouldn't worship a God didn't give my son a 50-50 chance.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this ain't no lottery. This ain't blackjack.
Exactly.
You know? Either God chose you or he didn't choose you. And if he chose you, he'll let you know about it one day. That's right. He'll send his spirit to give you spiritual life, and he'll send his gospel to tell you, all right, I've given you life. Here's the truth. And you'll start to believe it.
Yes, sir.
And you actually start to love it.
Oh, yeah.
You know? You start to love it. Why? Because God chose for you to love it. And this... See, our believing is not just, okay, I accept these facts, so do the devils.
That's right.
Right? No, we love it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the difference.
Yeah.
That's the difference. Now, of course, a person who hasn't been chosen ain't going to love it, are they? Ain't going to love it. That's why they said, well, you must think you're better than me. We'll go ahead and tell them, yeah. Let's tell them that. See what they say. Hmm? No, be careful when you do that. You see, you hope sometimes when you say these things, people know he's being sarcastic. But I don't always catch on, so let me go ahead and say, yeah, I'm just kidding. Don't go out here and brag on yourself. God will show you how good you really are. You know? No, he chose us to salvation. But remember, he chose us out of the world. We are no better than they are.
Exactly.
At one time, by nature, we are a part of the world.
Yes, sir.
If it's wasn't for what God has done for us and what God has done in us, we are nothing but the world.
That's right.
He chose us out of the world.
Amen.
And because he did that, the world hates us. And that's why it hated Christ. He was the elect. God's chosen one. That's why those religious Jews hated him so much. Here is the chosen one. Yeah. And as I said, let us remember, we don't choose Jesus. I used to say that too. I'm trying to quit saying that. God chose, the Father chose the Son. He is the elected one. He's the chosen one. God's people, through a work of God's absolute free sovereign grace, they choose to believe him. They choose to repent. They choose to follow. They choose to serve. They choose to obey. They choose to worship. But they don't choose Christ. And that's what he told the disciples. Verse 16, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And somebody said, well, but see, let's just say it that way. Let's not try to explain it somehow. Let it lay there like it is. That's the truth. You did not choose me. Now, they chose to follow him, right? But he already said what? He said, follow me.
That's right.
And then they what? Followed him. But they didn't choose him. He was already who he was. You see, we don't choose him. And here for years, I used to try to explain that away. Now, what he means is he chose us first. That's not what he said here. Is it? He says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you.
Amen.
Nope, that's why the world hates it. Let's go out here today and go to the mall and start talking about election to people walk up near you. See what happens. Huh? First of all, they'll think you're talking about the upcoming. They may be interested for a few moments until you tell them which election you're talking about. Now, I challenge you to go do that this evening if you want to. I'm not going to. I'm going home, eat, and sit in my recliner, but you want to go do that, do that. I'll tell you what, you do find out when you try to tell people who God is, their hatred will well up. That's when it'll well up. If you dumb that truth down, try to use certain phrases, they'll say, well, I know somebody else that believes like that. But if you just come out and tell them, here's who God is, there is no debate, there is no argument. Yeah. I'm not here to discuss this with you. I'm here to tell you about it. Yeah. You know? If you did that, you'll see it quick. And as I think it was Mason, I may have said it to you all. You know, I don't go out here and talk to people about Christ in the same mannerisms as I preach to you. Because the old cliche, that old phrase, I'm preaching to the choir. I am preaching to people that believe the truth. Right? We don't go out here and tell people that in other words, with this attitude, I'm going to straighten them out. No, you won't. I've tried that. I tried that with family members. You don't straighten them out. Only God Almighty can do that.
Yes, sir.
And basically, what you can do is make things worse when you try to straighten somebody out.
Yeah.
You can make things worse. Now, we don't straighten anybody out. It is when someone asked us to give answer of the hope that lies within us, we are to be ready.
Yeah.
Right? Isn't that what it says? Be ready.
Yes, sir.
Be ready. No, God did choose us. And you know what? I love that truth. And I love that God. Now maybe, I don't even know whether I can call it Philios or not, Joe. I don't know if I can even go that far, but there is love there, Earl, for that truth and that God. And there is from you too. I know it. I can see it. Feel it. It's a truth that when you begin to find out, when God begins to reveal to you who the Son is, if he's doing that in grace, it will change who you are. It will change the way you think about life and about living. That's the difference between the reprobate and the elect. The elect, having been given life by the Spirit, when they hear the truth of the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, it begins to change the way they view everything, including themselves. Now, it doesn't matter how humble you are. The world will still think you're proud when you tell them the truth of God in Christ. I remember going to Pipestem at that timeshare thing they had over there. And we went over there, and I went over there because you come, we'll give you a camera, whether you buy anything or not. So I went to get me a camera. That's what they said. I wasn't going to buy anything. I didn't care how much they talked. I wanted my camera. I didn't get it either. It ought to teach me better than to do stupid stuff like that. But nevertheless, I went to get my camera. Well, we walked in, sat down at the table. The guy, the salesman, came and began the sales pitch. And of course, we had on our Sunday clothes. You know, he said, "Well, you all must have just come from church." We said, "Well, yeah, we come. We go to Mabscott." He said, "Well, you live in Kellysville." Well, see, right there already it started. So I then began to define why it was I drove so far to go to church. And that guy looked at me and said, I knew you was a proud person." You know, you're right, but what's that got to do with what we're talking about? You know, I may be. That's his way. See, they always put the conversation on something else. It's that smoke screen I was talking about. People throw up. She finally had that happen to her. Smoke screen throwed up. And like I said, I don't know all the conversations she had with some of these people, but you know, well, then I'm afraid, well, I'd never go to a church where the preacher uses tobacco. Well, you're probably right. You might as well stay away. But you come here, you wouldn't be happy. And not because of the tobacco or the lack thereof. Exactly. Because of this book right here. That's what it's all about, folks. Now, don't you kid yourself. I was there at one time. The person that God used to bring me the gospel used tobacco. And I thought that was one of the most sinful things you could do. I remember telling people, he comes to church good, but he smokes. Smokes cigarettes, too. You know what the problem was? My problem was not tobacco. My problem was with the person of God.
Yeah.
That was my problem. That's the problem. You see, and people always, you begin to talk to people about the truth. As I've told you this before, I got just a few more minutes. I'm giving an example. The world will hate you. Right? I'm taking my training when I first started with the state, driving to Marion to the mental prison, and that is no pleasure.
No.
I mean, to see them, I mean, some of them are regular inmates, but on them two wings, like B and C, those folks are the mentally insane. And you might as well add criminal mental insane. Some mean people on that ward. So we're going there, and you know, you have things to talk. Here's all these new people, and we're all taking class together, you know. So there's a lot of things to talk about, Earl. You know, they take you down. Here you are, a greenhorn, and they walk you right down C ward. You got to go count these people. Make sure they're all there, you know. You talk about butterflies in your stomach. You talk about the hair on your arms standing up, you know. So everybody's talking, and you kind of, you know, that was tough. And people kind of, Earl, they kind of loosen up when they're together in a situation like that, and they begin to talk personally. And one lady asked me, she said, "I perceive you're a little bit different." And I thought, uh-oh, here we go. You know, she's seen something nobody else has seen in me yet. You know, she's discovered something. She must be a psychiatrist or something like that. She said, "I perceive you're a little bit different." And then she asked me if I went to church. Blah, blah. You know, here it started. And the next thing you know, I was having to answer a yes or no as to whether I believed it was God's will that when this inmate broke out of the prison and went and raped and killed two old women, that I believe that was God's will. And that's where I was. That's the question I was asked. And you know what I had to answer? Yes. Oh, the hatred you could see. Well, I don't believe that. And I said, I know you don't. I know you don't. And see, there was no need for me to try to explain that, Joe. It's the truth.
Yep.
And you can't explain it to somebody that don't believe it.
Exactly.
Right? If somebody would have said, well, you know, I've often thought that, but I didn't know how to explain it, how to say it, then I could talk to that kind of person. You know what I'm saying? Then you could talk to them. But no, I'm saying that there are times when you tell who God really is, you'll see that hatred well up.
Yes, sir.
I remember a time at a place called New Zion Regular Baptist Church. A handful of people were trying to tell the truth as best they could. And people became physically agitated, angry, and hateful toward the people who were trying to tell that truth. Threats were leveled verbally, out loud. Tarum and feather. This wasn't just a... Now I'm talking about people screaming to the top of their lungs. Tar them and feather them. Get them out. Wasn't that what they say in Job? Fists are drawn. Why? Because this group of people were some great holy saints and come in and telling these other folks how bad and wicked they were living. No, we were just trying to tell them who God was.
Exactly.
We were just trying to tell them who God was.
That's it.
And this anger comes out. That's what our Lord said. If the world hates you, if you were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I've chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. And they'll show it when you tell them about that. But the flip side of that is, if you're one of those people that God's chosen out of the world, in God's own good time, you'll come to love that truth.
Yes, sir.
That God. In God's own good time. I think it was Mason, me and Mason was talking about this. And I'll ask it and answer it again. And there's a lot of debate. People argue there are local assemblies that won't fellowship together based upon the answer to this question. Mm-hmm. Do you believe a person has to believe in election to be saved? That is, to be converted, to repent and believe. Now, the answer of Scripture is, do they have to believe in election? No. No. They don't have to believe in election. They must believe Christ. That's where it starts. If all you did was believe election, you just believed a doctrine.
Yeah.
God's people believe a person.
Yeah.
You know? Amen. We believe the Son of God.
Yes, sir.
And if that belief was the gift of God, and if it was the gift of God, then I will truly be believing the Son of God, then I will begin to discover, or be revealed, rather, I should say, who he really is.
Yes, sir.
It will come in bits and pieces at times. And at times it may come in a overflowing flood at times. But it will come. And it'll come in God's own good time.
Yes, sir.
For instance, here's a man hanging on a cross, ready to die.
Mm-hmm.
And he, along with one of his buddies, way down on the far end there, is mocking the guy in the middle.
Yes, sir.
With his buddy.
Yeah.
But you know what? That's what one writer tells us, that both thieves were mocking Christ. But then another writer tells us that for some reason, it doesn't tell us the change, but it says that while one thief mocked, the other one said, hey, don't you fear God? We're getting what we deserve. Now think about it. This man has done nothing amiss.
Amen.
That's all he knew about him.
Exactly.
And he knew that whatever. Earl, where did that come from?
Yeah.
Who? Where was that grace preacher standing at the foot of the cross? This is Jesus, the Son of God. Believe ye on him. Huh? Is that what was taking place? No, there were people down there gambling for his clothes. Right?
That's right.
Mocking him. Now all of a sudden, this thief realized, here's an innocent man, and he's what? The Lord.
Yeah.
Because he said, Lord, remember me when you come into his kingdom.
Yeah.
That's where it starts.
Yes, sir.
And if God purposes it, that can be where it ends.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Be where it is. I wonder if he believed in election or not. I wonder if he believed in regeneration or not. I wonder if he believed in particular redemption or not. Doesn't matter. He believed on that one hanging there beside him. That's the Lord. Remember me. And Christ did. Father, I pray that you join us together in fellowship around the truth of thy Son. It's such a privilege of grace, not only to know what you've done, but who it is that's doing these things for us. I thank you in Christ's name. Amen.